services to the public schools, to hospitals, and other stakeholders. Some of the transition highlights is that we continue developing the partnership with the public schools. We do have a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Education and the public schools, so we can both work together on serving students. Our supervisors and chief bureaucracy, the transition coordinator, is having regular meetings with the Nebraska Center for the Education of Children, Part Blind and Visually Impaired to make it sure that it's the Nebraska Center for Education. And they're having almost quarterly meetings to continue to develop the partnership. Furthermore, Lincoln staff members are going to the School for the Blind of the Nebraska Center for the Education to provide some in-house training to their teachers. Shane Burish and Leslie Wagner, the transition specialist from the Nebraska Center for the Education, will be attending the presentation at the statewide transition conference in February. The Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Park Line will also attend. They already toured the center, but they are going to bring more students to our training center in order to get training and then get jobs. In the transition area, this weekend we are having a mentoring event at the W3 Hotel. I am one of the mentors and chairman Walter from the tool. We have now 11 mentees and 9 mentors, along with 11 other transition students who are not mentees, but they are in the transition age. And what happened is that we used to have the winner phase retreat, and this mentoring activity is taking place for that particular event. The contract with the National Federation of the Blind Mentoring for Excellence covers several of the transition activities we were doing. So it's really a win-win situation because we were able, or we will be able, to charge all those expenses to create require services. The center will have 7 students now, and by the end of the month we will have 9 students, including one from North Carolina. We also have one state staff trainee, the MBE new manager. Several 3-day stays, including one from North Carolina. We have tours, like I mentioned, the VA coordinator, or visually, I'm sorry, veterans administration. 3 tours with agency consumers, 3 candidates for state legislators, 7 Union College students, and a Lincoln High School student did a job shadowing with the job and home management. In October, the students attended the Emilio Nebraska Convention in Columbus. They also attended the viewing of the U-Dream in Poland, put by the NLP chapter in Lincoln. The students also attended the ACB picnic, where they had a chance to listen to a professional storyteller how do I scale? No, I can't do skiing. I can try to rock climbing, but it's just me. The Department of Labor continues to send the person to the center to help our clients work on job search, resume writing, interviewing skills. And one of the new things they did was for the phone and pay the interviews so they can get positive feedback or constructive feedback. Jeff Allman, our center travel instructor, started to attend monthly meetings at the start training. The instructors at the center regularly work on projects to improve their classes and participate on webinars. Cindy Zimmer, our counselor who helps the clients on different areas, has been working with clients on getting connecting them with comparable benefits. We help the clients know more resources but also help the agency save money. We have two students who did one-on-one training. They are very demanding because they have multiple disabilities. The Nebraska Business Enterprise Program. We finally got the permit with the Veterans Administration for the new clinic in Omaha. You know, we started the arbitration process. As a result, we were under some negotiation. We signed the contract, then took a while to sign and send it back to us. We did sign it, but we are keeping the process of arbitration open because when we got the data originally, it was for two clinics, one for Omaha, one for Lincoln. So the one for Omaha has been sold, but the one for Lincoln we never got the feed yet, so we're keeping the arbitration process open until we get some response from the permit about the Lincoln clinic. We also intend to submit a bid for the RFP for the Department of Corrections. As you know, we got several buildings, but we don't have access to the areas for the employees and the inmates. This RFP should be coming out by the end of the year. We will work from there. If a new law passes to allow us a real priority for business enterprises, we don't have to more bits like this. Carol Jenkins and I met with the State Building Division contract folks to negotiate a new contract with the State Building Division, and we're talking about like 10 different locations, most of them in Lincoln. Carol afterwards did most of the negotiation and drafting of the contract with the Building Division. I think we are at the final stages. As part of these new locations, we have a transition with First Choice, the company that was running those operations. That began by the end of July, and it was completed by the end of August. We had an agreement with Pepsi and Coca-Cola, so our licensees can use their soda machines. In that way, we are saving around $84,000.
Yeah.
We also purchased Keurig coffee machines. They are also being delivered to us, and don't worry, we'll be installing those coffee machines into those buildings in the next couple of weeks. If you don't see those coffee machines, then they're on. We also have a subcontract for the new building in Grand Island, which is a federal building for immigration. We are subcontracting because we put it out for bid and no vendor was interested for that. So we did subcontract, and some of the set aside money goes for Anna aside funds. The beauty of this particular subcontractor is that this person is not necessarily legally blind. You know, the other subcontractors are big corporations like the national bank. This person is not legally blind, but he's visually impaired. So he does qualify for our services, but does not qualify for the Randolph Shepherd program. Because under the Randolph Shepherd program, it says very clear that they have to be legally blind under the federal definition. Mm. But this person is improving his business that way. During the third week of September, we received from the Offutt Air Force Base a request for proposal for an RFP to operate the military cafeteria at their new building called Stratton. We submitted the proposal on October 22, and we put a lot of work on that. And I thought I was going to take a few weeks break to hear from them, but they called me right away the following week, asking for more clarifying questions. And last Thursday, I was informed that they are working on a formal award to get the military cafeteria, so it's a go.
Good. And I know you've done a lot of work on that, Carlos. I see it in your time sheets, and I see it in just the effort. So thank you. That's a major win.
No, thank you. I think we all work as a team. You see it in my time sheet, but you don't see girls' time sheet and cats' time sheet. They also put extra time in the time sheet.
Thank you all.
I just want you to know that too.
That's going to be a good income source for some black people.
Yeah, the same location, there are going to be also 26 break rooms with 52 vending machines.
Wow.
And that's a separate contract, that's under a permit. So that would be also giving job to another blind person. We are not
so you think that will come?
That theory told us that it's coming. It's
oh, okay.
For that, we don't need the vending machines. Easy because we just get a permit.
Right.
For cafeterias, we have
it's a little different.
A priority, but we need to go through a RFP process. Uh-huh. And in this case, we didn't go through the whole process because they very much gave it to us.
Uh-huh.
They just wanted to try it. We announced this location or this opportunity, the cafeteria, to all the licensees. We only got one vendor who was interested. The requirements were to submit a business proposal and also to be able to find a TV partner who is willing to put funds for most of the equipment. The agency is going to be buying some of the equipment. The name of the blind vendor is Miguel Rocha. The TV partners are WG Consulting and Investment and Worley Enterprises. We are also working with a company in Omaha called Fisher and Fitcher. They are going to be the ones providing the equipment and installing the equipment. We have an error with the distribution of unassigned funds. Has been corrected. Carol Jenkins worked on that very, very hard. And we also decided that in order to get unassigned funds, which is the funds that come from the vending machines that blind vendor Tom operate, but with some contract, that money goes usually for the retirement fund. The decision is that they have to be active vendors and they have to be paying into the retirement fund. I think one of the vendors was not happy and said that he was going to complain to the commission, so I did forward that just for your information. But after some exchange from Pedro, I think he's clear that it makes sense, okay? In case you have any remorse. A vendor from the North Platte area retired for health reasons, and we already found a new vendor, and she's operating the vending machines in that area. We also had a vendor retiring from the Omaha locations, and a new vendor to size in addition to her other facilities, making that way more money. Just to clarify, it's being added to her locations, not because we just gave it to her, but there was no other vendor interested, and of course, she's willing to do it. Carol Jenkins negotiated a new contract with the Douglas County Civic Building. We had a 10-year-old contract, which was updated, and because the county does not fit under the Randall Shepherd program, and under the state, it says that we could get it there only if the city council give us the authorization. Well, the city council wanted to renegotiate this, and Carol Jenkins was able to negotiate the contract with better terms for our client patients. So I want to thank Carol for that.
Yeah, good job.
She's becoming an expert in negotiating.
She picked up the vending business pretty quick.
She's been great. She's been great. I have to smile this time. I have an NMB question for you, and I just smiled here. Yeah. But she has the answer too. Carol Jenkins also attended the Region 7 Randall Shepherd training. And in that training, she or the participants toured the UCI vending factory facility. And that outfit, they make machines that are totally accessible to the blind operators, but also to blind consumers, because they can read the panels in Braille. Carol was exploring some of that opportunity for us. It's a little more expensive. We already had a meeting with National Vending, who work with UCI, and we are going to continue some more negotiation for that. That is my report, and I'm open for questions or clarifications.
Go for it.
Carlos, I have one question for you, and this is just probably pretty easy. There was a, looks like there was some money that was going to be saved in the budget, and stuff just because of reduction of some licensing for Fusion and then JAWS and so on, that was in your report.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to phrase my question here, I'm sorry. When I read that, have we reduced the number of blind staff that we have? Or, I mean, that maybe our staff is a shrunk, you know, just naturally, but as the number of blind staff members that we have been reduced?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because as Carol, Carol, feel free to jump if you feel that I'm not phrasing this correctly, but as Carol worked with supervisors on ways to save money, we found that we had too many licenses.
Okay.
And we just couldn't figure out why we had that many licenses. So we checked around and decided we don't need that many licenses. So, no, we don't have less blind staff, but it looks like we just have too many licenses for the reason that we couldn't spend.
Okay. Good housekeeping.
Yeah, we can be looking at different things. And again, our counselors and supervisors are working together on finding ways to keep the budget. It's okay. Any other questions?
My age of the
mentees.
Okay. It's 14 to 21, as long as they are in school. Yeah, because the reason is, it has to match the requirements for the pre-ex. But what we're also doing is, in the past, we were providing services to those clients, and sometimes they were not in school either. There are some clients who are not mentees, but they want to come to the activities. So we expanded the contract with the ATP to also be able to provide services to those students.
Okay.
RSA is the one who gives us the definition.
Okay. At least this is something that, I mean, I'm not going to go into it here.
It's part of the program.
Yeah. So the part of, and help me if I get this wrong, but part of Miola and the definition of pre-ads, they define five categories of services that are part of that, and they are job exploration counseling, workplace readiness training, work-based learning, counseling regarding higher education, and self-advocacy. And so as part of the mentoring program, as I have interactions with my mentee, actually mentees plural, I fill out an interaction report on a regular basis. And so I added notes about, you know, what we talked about and what we did, and then also, if applicable, I mark categories that this falls under.
I just know that when I work with my students, that there's a few things that I always find that they need just a little bit more encouragement to learn. A couple of them are like self-determination, organization, and urgency. Sometimes I find that a lot of my students are just too laid back.
No, I do not. Okay. Nope. Jeff?
Nope. Awesome. Thank you for your report, Carl.
Yeah, I got just a couple of comments. I guess I was just thinking about the last year. In the last year, we have a new executive director, a new deputy director. I'm not saying approximately last year.
Yeah, new business manager.
New business manager, new center person, new MBE leader.
New MBE, yes.
And
new changes on
we
the federal
level. Yeah. I tell you, I heard a lot of stuff happening in this report. Each time you read something, I asked myself, how does that affect creating jobs for blind and older blind or independent living? And each time I was able to say, yeah, that's what we're about. We're about older blind people. We're about independent living, but most of all, we're about creating jobs. And every time I heard something that they were specifically focused on what we're supposed to be doing. So I really love what's happening with the MBE. I know you've done a lot of work there. It's exciting
work on you.
You know, I think the work that you're doing with the pre-EDS is leading edge. I hope other states are coming to you guys for advice because you've done well there and have done that. Just thank you for the report and everything that's happening. Last thing, I sense that there's more staff people interacting more with the community. Is that true? You're more involved on different boards. You're more involved with the public schools.
More with the public schools. It's been evolving a lot because, as I mentioned in previous reports, we choose to spend a lot of time on training only and then with other blind individuals. To switch the culture to placement took some effort. Some counselors didn't want to contact employees. They say, well, I'm a counselor, I'm not a job specialist. But we are about jobs.
Amen.
So as we hire new folks and we get training for the old folks, including myself, the culture shift and we know that partnership is the key. Working with employers, working with the public schools, and also the new laws now requiring us to work more closely with them and it's requiring them. So we are forced to have a MOU with them before we were just it's working. We used to have tension, but more and more with the public schools and the school, the Nebraska Center for Deployment, they welcome us, we welcome them.
Yeah.
Because again, we learn, I guess, the hard way that we need to put our differences aside and work in the common cause. We each have our own identities.
Then, oh, by the way, the realignment dollars are not what they used to be.
That's right. And they talk about that last week too. That I forget the exact number, but they used to be $240 million available for realignment, and last year there was only $110 million.
So we're doing as much with less.
Yeah. Only before there were 20 states. So there were more money for less states. Now there were 41 states requesting more funds. There's less money for more states asking.
Okay, well, thank you.
I say that we are not going to be getting more than that. So that's why we need to continue being diligent, being smart, saving money.
Very good. Well, thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, we have. We have a public comment, in public, we're so glad you're here. Does anybody have a comment they would like to share? Shout out your name and we'll go in twice. Any public people that have a comment?
Everyone awake?
All right, well, we're just glad you're here, and, you know, if you have a comment, we got one more opportunity. So, well, thank you. That gives us up to time. Up a little bit on our schedule. Also, we did kind of take a break after the tour. Does anybody need a personal break time right now?
No, I think he's going.
No.
No, okay. Unless there's any objection, I'd like to continue on. Might be okay.
Keep on keeping.
Okay. Thank you. That will help us. And then I guess we would be at budget update. So, and we've got. Looks like about 45 minutes or 15 minutes for budget updates.
Okay, I talked a little bit about the realignment. I talked a bit about the realignment. In general, our federal.